just for a few minutes this evening, I'd like to bring you a message from the Word of God, from the scripture passage that we read in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, and particularly the words that we find in verse 10. The angel spoke to the shepherds, saying, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, if any of you can remember back to this time last year, I spoke from this passage on the great fear that the shepherds experienced and the great joy. But this evening, I want to focus upon the good tidings which these shepherds were informed of. I bring you good tidings. The word gospel is an old English word which means good news. Really the same as here, good tidings. And I want us to think this evening about three kinds of news. Firstly, fake news. Secondly, bad news. And thirdly, this good news. And I hope that by speaking of all three, you will come to appreciate that this news here referred to by the angel is the best news of all. The news we all need to hear and embrace. Well, we live in a day when there is much talk of fake news. What is meant by fake news? Something that is an imitation, but not the real thing. It pretends to be true, and yet it is fake. It is a mere imitation. The older ones here may remember a man called Max Clifford, the disgraced publicist. He recently died. And one newspaper article described him as the king of fake news. And he purportedly once said, "Every day, every week, every month, a lot of lies you see in the newspapers, magazines, and on TV, they are my lies." How solemn to be willing to own that you are a liar. But he did. And he made his money by inventing stories and creating fake news. What is our view of such a person? Imagine you read a newspaper. You're taken in by an article or a story, and then you realise that it's a complete fabrication. Well, surely most of us, we begin to resent the person who published that news or passed it on to an unwitting newspaper editor. And we feel aggrieved, we feel angered that someone should so deceive us. Especially because we know that this kind of news often destroys reputations and careers. It distorts our view of people. But you know, although this man was called the king of fake news, Satan is the master of fake news. He loves to deceive souls by creating ideas and opinions and stories which are completely untrue. And just as misguided religious leaders, in just the same way as newspaper editors, they swallow Satan's lies and then they publish them and preach them in all sincerity. What sort of things am I thinking of? I'm telling you these things because we need to be alert. We need to be warned of these kinds of fake news. The first one I want to suggest to you is this. Most people will be in heaven. Have you ever been given that impression? So long as you are a decent, civil sort of person, perhaps a little bit religious, you'll be there. Most people will be in heaven. That's fake news. Straight out of the pit of hell. Published by ignorant preachers and teachers who lead many souls astray. Another is God is unreasonably cruel. Have you ever heard that said or something similar? That's fake news. Surely our text refutes that very suggestion. And then there's a third. God is like a doting grandfather. He's all very lovey-dovey and forgiving. And yes, you may not be a perfect person. You may have done many things wrong. But so long as you're a decent sort of person, then the Lord will overlook your faults. That's fake news too. Scripture must be our arbiter. What does the Word of God say? This brings me to the bad news. And you know, bad news is better than fake news, if it is true. Because fake news may lull us into a false sense of security. Fake news may give us the impression that all is well with our lives. We need to know what is the truth. What would you think of a building surveyor? You were thinking of buying a house and you said to the building surveyor, go and have a look at the house for me. Tell me if it's in good condition. Tell me what the foundations are like. And the surveyor came back and he hadn't done his job. And he said, oh yes, sir, I've given it the once over. Can't see much wrong with it. And you make an offer. You buy the house. Your lawyer does the transactions. And weeks later, you begin to see cracks in the wall. You put your finger in the corner of the window frame and it goes straight through. And before long, you realise you've bought a heap. What would you think of the building surveyor who did that? You would say, I'd hang him if I could. Not literally, of course. What would you think of a doctor who put his arm round your shoulder when you went to him in pain? He said, there's nothing wrong. He knew there was, but he couldn't bring himself to tell you the truth. And what would you think of a preacher who didn't tell you what the Bible really says? Friends, the bad news is what the Word of God warns us. And we need to appreciate that it is given to us with greater intent and meaning and care and concern than ever a faithful building surveyor or loving and caring doctor who gives us the bad news. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says this, whatsoever the law, that's the law of God, says, it says to them who are under the law, and we are all under God's law, because we are his creatures and his law is given for us to live by and to be judged by. That every mouth may be stopped, said Paul, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's the bad news. All the world, whether we are black or white or something in between, wherever we live, whether we are rich or poor, young or old, we are all guilty before God. We don't like to be think of ourselves as guilty before an earthly judge. How much worse it is to be guilty before the Almighty God, whose eye scrutinizes everything that we do, who records our conduct, our thoughts, our words with a perfect record. Guilty before God. That's the bad news. The next verse adds to it. There, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. We cannot become accepted, justified, pronounced right before God by trying to keep God's law because we've broken it too many times. Think of it like this. Imagine you go into a shop and you've been a shoplifter for 10 years. You've never paid a penny. You always, even as a child, you took the Rolos off the shelf and put them in your pocket. And you got a bit older and more wise and adept at shoplifting. And you took many things. And one day you realised that you shouldn't do this. And you said to the shopkeeper, look, I used to steal things, but today I'm going to pay for it. Would that atone for all those times you had stolen? Of course not. By keeping the law on the fifth day doesn't pay for all the times we've broken the law on the other four. And even if we try and keep God's law, and we could, if it was possible, do everything that God and his word said, would that pay for all the times when we've ignored God's law and broken God's law? Of course not. You see, it's fake news when someone comes and says, well, if you try and be a good person, you'll be in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. And God guards it jealously because he is a holy God. And we shall not be in heaven because we have done a few good deeds or had a few religious moments in our life. We need someone who will bear the penalty of all our guilt and sin. And that brings me to the good news. It's the good news which the angels pronounced here to these shepherds. Good tidings of great joy. For unto you, the next verse says, is born a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. That is the good news. And how much more precious that good news appears when the bad news has sunk down into our hearts. When our conscience alerts us, yes, I am a lawbreaker, guilty before God, hell-bound and hell-deserving as a sinner. I don't mean to be offensive, friends. I'm simply like that honest doctor who is telling you the truth and not something that is a fabrication. We are lost. We are ruined. We are guilty. And sin will one day overtake us in death. But Jesus Christ has come. And he has been announced as the Saviour. Not in some political reformer, but one who came, who lived a perfect life, and who offered himself willingly upon that cross at Calvary, bearing the punishment for all that should trust in him, so that all their misdemeanor should be taken away. We've broken God's law many, 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 many times. We can never repay that debt. We are bankrupt. But Jesus Christ had no sin of his own. Even that dying thief famously said, this man has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. And because Christ had done nothing worthy of death, when he died, he was able to take that punishment of death, which is due to all the sin of all those in this world that trust in him. Notice here, lastly, as we draw to conclusion, the angel said, good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. All people. Do you feel, well, I've not been a religious person, I'm now in my 80s or in my 90s. How is it possible that having ignored Almighty God and lived my own way for decades, is it still possible for this Saviour to be my Saviour? Yes, it is. I read recently of a man of 92. He lived in a bygone era in the Orkney Islands. And there were churches on the Orkney Islands in those days, but all the preachers preached a fake gospel. They didn't give the news, the bad news of sin, or the good news of salvation through the work of Jesus Christ alone. And a faithful preacher, an evangelist really, he went to the Orkney Isles and he was told about this ailing man in his 90s, nearing his end. And he visited him. And he said, do you know anything of Jesus Christ? He said, no, I know so little of anything that the Bible teaches. And he said, do you know yourself a sinner? And the man said, well, I suppose I am. And this man, the preacher, he shared with him the gospel, the good tidings of great joy. How any person, however old or young they may be, who is convinced that they are sinners, who knows themselves and is willing to acknowledge before Almighty God that they are sinful and guilty, can be freely forgiven through Jesus Christ. And a big beam came over this man's face. He could hardly speak. His powers were weakening day by day. And he said to this preacher, he said, "You know, when I was a teenage boy, I can remember once praying to God. I didn't know God, but I prayed that if there was a God, he would reveal himself to me and he would show me his way and his truth." And he said, "Here I am now, almost 80 years later. I cannot get out of bed. I've got days to live." And you have been the answer to that old prayer of mine as a teenager. Be encouraged by that, friends, this Christmas time. You may be a young sinner this evening. You may be an old sinner, but we are all sinners. I don't want to offend you, but we need each of us to realize how guilty we are before God. Where will you be in 10 years' time? In 20 years' time? If you're young, where will you be in 100 years' time? You won't be on this earth, but you have a soul that will never die. Will it be with Christ, the Saviour announced here by the shepherds? Or will you be banished from Almighty God eternally? There are only two destinies, friends. Call upon the Lord. These shepherds went with haste to find the Lord Jesus Christ whilst he was here upon earth. Then come with haste, with urgency in prayer, and call upon Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, make me to know myself in all my need and bring me to trust in Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners like me." Well, we've thought of fake news. Don't be fooled by that fake news that says, so long as you're a decent person, all will be well when you come to die. It's only false preachers and teachers that profess such a message. Lay to heart the bad news. It's best we know it. But then flee to Jesus Christ and embrace him who is the very essence of the good news. The angels here sang glory to God in the highest. They sung that song because it is this in which God has displayed his glory most magnificently. He is the creator, and we see his handiwork all around us, but his highest work, his most glorious achievement, is to send his Son, that through him we might have life and forgiveness. May the Lord bless you each at this Christmas time, and may each of us cherish this wonderful news. Amen. We can